Boker Tov, good morning. Today's daf is daf Chet. We're about to get started. Today's daf should be for the Refuah Shalom of all the Cholim. Refuah Shalom of Ben Sarai, David Ben Rechai, Yafabat, Vera, Refuah Ben Yochevet, Refuah Ben Yisrael Shalom of Esther, Refuah Ben Yael, Moshe Ben Chana, Moshe Ben Chana, Yafabat Ben Miriam, Yehuda Ben Yafah, Chaya, Sarai, Bet Simcha, Recha Ben Chana, David Ben Esther, Simcha Ben Malka, Miriam Ben Yochevet, Eliza Bat Miriam, Chana, Eliana, Bat Naomi, and Rechai, Esther, Bat Tamar. ולהבדיל אלו נשמת אליאל דינה בת אפרים, אלישבע בת אהרון בן יצחק, ובנימין בן יצחק. So today's daf is daf chet, b'zad Hashem. We're holding at the bottom of daf zayin amud bet. We stopped at the last mishnah. Basically right now the Masechet Megillah, we're going to get into a bunch of mishnayot that don't really have to pertain to don't have to pertain to the topic of Purim, not necessarily, but it's really going on the aspect of Ein Bein. There is no difference between this and that. There's no difference between this and that except for one little thing. So all the Mishnayot that come up right now have to do with Ein Bein, Ein Bein. We're also going to see, supposedly, they say that Daf Chet is one of the most difficult Dapim in Masechet Megillah, but I think if we learn it very strong, we can learn it the right way, it shouldn't be too difficult. So we're holding at the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Ein bein Shabbat le Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur. Ela sheze zedono bide Adam, zeze zedono bekaret. There's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippur, besides for the fact that the punishment of Shabbat is besekila, which is in the hands of the Beitin, and the punishment of Yom Kippur is karet, which is a lower level, right? We know sekila, serefa, henek, vachenek, and then karet. Karet is the bottom. So sekila is the highest. It's the worst punishment, and karet is the lowest punishment. So obviously Shabbat is the punishment is much greater. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Hal inyan tashlumin ze veze shavin." So when it comes to the essence of tashlumin, the Gemara is trying to infer that they are completely equivalent. Or what does that mean exactly? So if somebody, the way they explain it over here, if somebody, let's say, loses his friend's money, let's say in work, you lose your friend's money in a melacha. Let's say that you while you were doing that melacha, you became chayav, you became liable to your life, not to your life, but any a person's life. So now, what becomes the din? Let's say a person he lit someone's field on fire on Yom Kippur. So now, what do we know? A person violated a commandment of the Torah by lighting a fire on Yom Kippur, but he also is liable to pay the guy because he owes him for lighting his field on fire. So what's the din? So he says, we see from that Yom Kippur and Shabbat would be equivalent in that case, that we only look at the aspect of the more stringent one. We only look at the aspect of the fact that he's chayav mitah, he's liable to death. We don't make him pay if he's liable to death. So that's what the Gemara is trying to say. Mani matnitin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanehu. It's the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya. How do we know? The Tanya is a bright that says, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh, haya ose Yom Kippurim ke Shabbat le Tashlumin. He would do Yom Kippur like Shabbat in regards to Tashlumin, in regards to paying back. Ma Shabbat mi chayav in Asho patur min Tashlumin. Just like somebody on Shabbat, if he becomes chayav mita, if he becomes chayav for doing something asur on Shabbat from the Torah, that would be liable to death. He does not have to pay the tashlumin if he causes somebody's money to be lost. Af Yom Kippurim mitchayev nasho patur min tashlumin. So too is the same exact law with regards to Yom Kippur. Tanan hatam. It's taught over there in the Mishnah. Where is this referring to? So this is in Masechet Makor at the end. The Gemara says, Kol chayave kritot shel laku niftaru mide kritatan. All chayave kritot, all people who are chayav karet, were liable to karet, that were given lashes, the Mishnah over there says, they become exempted from their karet status. The lashes now exempt them from karet. Shneimar, the pasuk says, v'nikla achicha le'enecha. What does that mean? It says, your brother becomes embarrassed to your eyes. What does that mean? Kivan shelaka hareu ka'achicha. Once he was laka, once he was hit, he becomes like your brother again. That he says essentially, once you become hit, you lose the karet status that you were cut off, that person was cut off, and now they retain their brotherhood status. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Chalukin alav chaverav al rechanina ben Gamliel. He said that all of his samidim, all of his friends, are all chaluk on him. They all disagree with him. Okay, Amar Rava, Amrei Bei Rav, Tanina. It was taught. In Ben Yom Kippurim and Shabbat, Ela Shezeh Zedono B'Di Adam, Zeh Zedono B'Ikaret. There's no difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbat, besides for the punishment, right? Shabbat is in the hands of man, that we give the Beit Din will give Sekila, whereas Yom Kippur is in the hands of heaven. The Gemara says, "V'im ita," and if that's the case, "Idvi di bide adami." Why don't we say, meaning, if it's the case that we say that if somebody got lashes, they would be exempted from they would be exempted from the karet status. So what do you see from that? That even on Yom Kippur, you can be given a punishment, bidei adam, in the hands of men. You can be given the lashes, and you would be exempted from the status of bidei shamayim. Damar Nachman Hamani, who is his author? Rabbi Yitzchak, his opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar Malkut bechayavei kritot leka. He holds there is no Malkut when it comes to chayav karet. When a person's chayav karet, this is a special opinion in Masechet Makot, that a person who becomes chayav karet, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he does not become liable to get lashes as well. The Tanya, as the Braita says, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayavei kritot bichlal hayu. We know in all the arayot and all of the illegal relations, it says a person would be chayav karet. So it says, Milama yatzad karet b'achoto. Why does it have to repeat it and tell us again when we're talking about one sister that if he does an illegal act with her, he would be chayav karet? Laduna bekaret v'lo malkut, to judge them in a case of karet and not malkut. Meaning to teach us that it's only karet. So you see that what he has a special opinion that whenever there's karet, there's no, this is not included with it malkut. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu teimer Rabbanan. He says, no, even if you say the opinion of the Rabbanan, ze ikar ze dono bide adam, ve ikar ze dono bikaret. Really, it could be that both of them could be bide adam. Really, it could be that the Yom Kippur, if somebody sins with Yom Kippur, he could be given malkut, and therefore it would be bide adam, and he would be exempted. Why did they call it bide shamayim? Because it's ikar punishment is actually bide shamayim. It really is like the person who breaks Yom Kippur is liable to karet, which is in the hands of heaven. But they could be given malkut to exempt them from that. That's what he's trying to say. Saying that the ikar punishment of Shabbat is in the hands of man with sekila, and the ikar punishment of Yom Kippur is in the hands of Hashem, which is karet. Okay, we're flipping the new amud. New Mishnah. Another ein bein. Ein bein hamudar hanna'am chavero lemudar mimenu ma'achal. There's no difference between someone who makes a neder not to benefit from his friend, or makes a neder not to benefit from his food, ela derisat haregel vekelim. Besides for, the way Rashi explains it, entering into one's home, into your friend's home, let's say, and borrowing his utensils, right? So he says, here, he says, she'ein osin bahen ochel nefesh. Let's say you have utensils that they don't make food in them. They just have a, you know, like a bowl or something they usually use for decoration. Okay, so he says, if it's talking about the aspect of making a neder for somebody who you said, I don't want to benefit from my friend, then it would be asur, both cases. You can't go into his house, and you cannot borrow his utensils. But if it's talking about the person who made a neder not to benefit from the person's food, you're not benefiting from his food by going into his house, and you're not benefiting from his food by borrowing his non-food utensil. So the Gemara says, Halli inyan kelim she'osin ma'en ochel nefesh zeh v'zeh shavin. Oh, but if it's a kli, if it's a utensil that is used for ochel, if it's used for food, let's say, so then they would both be equivalent, both neders would be equivalent in the sense that they would both be forbidden. Then it says, derisat ha-regel, right, when you're going up and you're going to your friend's house. This is halo kapde inashe. The Gemara says, but your friend is not so makpid on you that he cares if you go into his house or not. So why is that considered benefiting from your friend? When it says, Amar Rava, Hamani, who's the opinion here? Rabbi Eliezer. It's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Damar vitur asur bimudar hana'a. It's the opinion that's saying that there's no such thing as being a vatran when it comes to mudar hana'a. If somebody makes a neder not to benefit from somebody, his friend who's made the neder against, that not to be benefited from, cannot say, you know what, it's okay, the small little things I don't care about. He made a neder, he can't benefit from you. So anything that has to pertain to you, he cannot benefit from. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein bein nedarim lenedavot, ela shenedarim chayav achirutan, unedavot eino chayav achirutan. What's the difference between a neder and a nedava? The Mishnah says the only difference between a neder and a nedava is that a neder, one is if someone loses their neder, they make a neder to bring an animal as a korban, and they lose it, then they're responsible to bring another one. Whereas a nedava, if you bring a voluntary animal and you made a nedava, you are not required to be responsible for it if you lose it. So the Gemara says, "Hal inyan bal ta'acher zeh v'zeh shavin." But if we're talking about the inyan of bal ta'acher, of not delaying your korban, both of them would be the exact same din, both a neder and a nedava. Tanan hatam, it's taught over there in the Mishnah, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It says, "Ezehu neder." What is considered a neder? Ha'omer hare alai ola. If someone says it is upon me to bring this ola, ezoi nedava. What is considered a nedava? Ha'omer hare zo ola. If someone says this is a ola, so the difference is it on him or is it on the animal? says, "Uma bein nedarim nedavod." What's the difference between a neder and a davar? Nedarim, if it's a neder, metu o nignevu o avdu, chayav achirutan. If it was, you know, if it died, the animal, or it was stolen or lost, you're obligated to bring another one. Nedavot, whereas a nedava, metu o nignevu o avdu, eino chayav achirutan. If it died or was stolen or was lost, you do not have to bring another one. And then it says, "Minanim." From where do we know that? The Tanur Rabbanan is taught in a baraita. V'nirtza lo lechaper alav. So how do they explain this? That it was pleased to him to atone upon him. So what does that mean? Rabbi Shimon Omer, et she'alav chayav achiruto, that which is upon the person, meaning you said neder, he takes it upon himself, so that he's required to bring another one. It's on him to bring. Whereas if somebody, et she'alav, eino chayav achiruto, if it's not on him, it's on the animal, and he loses it, and nedava, he's not required to bring another one. My mashma, where do we learn that from? Amar b'yitzchak barav dimi, keven damar alai, since the pasuk says, since it says alai, right? Since the guy who makes the neder says hare alai ola, if he says it's on me to bring an ola, so what does that mean? Kiman detaina katfei dame. It's as if he's literally carrying the animal on his shoulders, and so therefore he must bring it if he loses it. Okay, I'll stop there for questions. Okay, continuing. So now we're about to jump into a new Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that everybody quotes as being a difficult Mishnah to explain, to understand. But without a shame, if we go through it correctly, we'll be able to understand it very well. So the Mishnah says, "Ein bin zav haroesh shtei re'iyot le'roesh shalosh ela korban." There's no difference between a zav who sees two emissions between a zav who sees three emissions, besides for the fact that one who sees three must bring a korban. So what's going on here? Let's first understand the Pesukim in the Torah. If you look in the book of Vayikra, in Perek Tet Vav, in the 15th chapter, the Torah over there explains all of the essence of a zav and what's going on there. So it says there's a difference between a zav who saw what a zav is somebody who sees an emission. It's a type of emission, something that comes out of him that is similar to a seminal emission, but it's not exactly semen. So it says that if somebody sees one, if he only sees one, he becomes tameh. How? What is his level of tumah? His level of tumah is that he can make food tameh. If he touches food, he can make it tameh. But not everywhere he sits, if he only saw once, would he make tameh. Whereas if someone saw it twice, now does he not only make food tameh, but he makes other kelim tameh, and he can also make people tameh, and anything he sits or lies down on would become tameh as well. Whereas if a person saw three times, he would not only have all of that status of tumah, but he would also be obligated to bring a korban, he would be obligated to bring birds as a sacrifice to as a korban. So now when is that the case? Rashi explains over here, it's only if you saw twice, either one day after another, or twice on the same day. Or the three times, it's exactly three times one day after another, or three times on the same day. So that's how Rashi explains it. So that's our Mishnah, just explained what a Zav, who sees an emission. So the Gemara says, "Hal inyan mishkav u'mushav, u'sfirat shiva zeve ze shavin." But if you're going with lying down, sitting, and counting the 7 days, both one who saw twice and one who saw three times are both equivalent. They both have that status. They have the Tumah status, and they have to count 7 days. The Gemara says, "Menahan milay." From where do we know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, son of Braita, Rabbi Simai Omer. Rabbi Simai says, "Mana katuv shetaim bekaraot tameh." In the pasuk, it says zav twice, and it calls it tameh. Shalosh bekaraot tameh. It says it also three times, and he calls it twice. He calls it tameh. So what is it? Is it two times if a person sees an emission twice, he's tameh, or if a person sees an emission three times, he's tameh? So the Gemara says, "Haketzad, how is it so? Shtayim letumah v'shalosh lekorban." If you see an emission twice in 2 days, then you become tameh. Whereas if you see it a third time, now you'd also be obligated to bring a korban. So the Gemara says, "Ve'emar shtayim letumah v'lo lekorban, shalosh lekorban v'lo letumah." Why don't we say, you know, say something different? Say if you see two emissions, then you're obligated, you have tumah, but you don't have to bring a korban. If you see three emissions, you have to bring a korban, but you don't have tumah. On Ched Amud Aleph in the middle of the page. Okay? So why don't we say that? So he says, "Amar ad shalo ra'ash shalosh or ashtayim." How can you say that? How can you say the person who saw three times, he's not tameh? A person who saw twice is tameh. So how much more so the person who saw an extra time, he's still tameh, obviously. So the Gemara says, "Ve'emar shtayim lekorban velo letumah, shalosh af letumah." Why don't we say the other way around? So why don't we say someone who saw two emissions, he is obligated to bring a korban, and he's not tameh. Whereas a person who saw three emissions, he is even tameh, meaning he brings a korban and he's tameh. But the person who saw two is not tameh. The Gemara says, "Lo sagadatach." Don't think that. Why? The Tanya, the Braita taught. The pasuk says, if you look deeply in the pasuk says, "V'chiper alav ha'kohen lifnei Adonai mizovo." that Kohen atoned for him in front of Hashem from his Zav status. What does this mean? Miktzat Zavin Mevi'in Korban, or Miktzat Zavin Ein Mevi'in Korban. Some people who are Zav, a Zav again is somebody who saw either two emissions or three emissions come out of them. So some Zavin bring a Korban. Some Zavin do not bring a Korban. So who brings? HaKitzat, how is it so? Ra'ash Shalosh Mevi'i, Ra'ash Shtayim Eino Mevi'i. Is it if you saw three times an emission come out of you, then you bring a Korban, whereas if you saw twice, you don't bring a Korban? Or maybe only if you saw twice do you bring a korban, whereas if you saw a third time you don't bring a korban. The Gemara says, "Amart ad shelo ra'ash shalosh ra'ash shtayim." The Gemara says that cannot be the case, because if you're telling me that for two I would bring a korban, obviously for three I would bring a korban. There's no way you can say that a person who saw two emissions, you would restrict on him to bring a korban, but if he saw a third emission, then he becomes exempted from the korban. That makes no sense. So the Gemara says, "V'itzterich de Rabbi Simai, v'itzterich mizovo." We need both the proof of Rabbi Simai, who said that it says it twice and it says it three times, and we need also from the words mizovo. Why? The imid Rabbi Simai. If it was from the words of Rabbi Simai, hava amen, I would have thought ki kushyan. I would have thought our difficulty, the difficulty we had. What was our difficulty? We said, how do we know it's talking about two? It's talking about tuma, and three is talking about korban and tuma. Maybe two is talking about korban. Right? We said two is talking about korban and not tuma, and three is saying even tuma. Why don't we say that? This is kamashmana and mizovo. So that's why I needed to teach this from the word zovo. And if it would have only taught us this din from the word zavo, I did not know how many times a person needs to see an emission for him to be obligated to be tameh, for him to be obligated to bring a korban. And so therefore, kamashmalan, Rabbi Simai needed to teach us the opinion of Rabbi Simai. We're about 7-8 lines on the bottom of the page. V'hashta da'amart, and now that you said mizovo lidrasha, that from the word zavo, it's coming to teach us a drasha to exclude part of the zavim, some people who are zav, meaning someone who was only a zav, who saw two emissions, would not be obligated to bring a korban. So it says, v'chi itar azav mizavo may darshat pe. From the next pasuk, we have another pasuk, which is two pasukim early in the Torah, it says that whenever the zav becomes tahor from his status of zav, and he counts 7 days, how does he explain that pasuk? So he says, "Ahumi ba'ele lechidetanya." He uses that for the Braita. V'chiyitar hazav l'ksheiv sok mizovo. Says whenever the zav becomes tahor, when he stops seeing an emission, he can already start counting his 7 days. Mizovo, when the pasuk says mizovo, velo mizovo venigo. He does not have to wait. Let's say a person, he both sees emissions and he gets a negat sarat. He has a tzara'at on him. He doesn't have to wait for both of them to go away. Once the zav, once his emissions stop, he can already go and start counting the 7 days. Mizovo v'safar, from the fact in the pasuk it says mizovo and he started counting, sefirat shiva, limed al zav ba'al shtei reyot shetaon sefirat shiva. That's coming to teach us that even a zav who only saw two emissions would be obligated to count 7 days. And the Gemara says, so the Gemara asks on that, v'halo dinhu, but isn't it a svara? You can think of this very simply, logically. Im mitameh mishkav umushav, lo yetaun svirat shiva. We know somebody, again, we're going back to our discussion. If we have a zav who saw two emissions, two things come out of him, one day after another, and we said he's tameh, mishkav and mushav. If he sits on something, he would make it tameh. If he lies down on something, he would make it tameh. So would we not think, obviously, that he needs to count 7 days? He would be part of this category of needing to count 7 days to become tahor. So clearly we can learn this from just a svara, from just logic. So the Gemara answers that we flip the amud, shomer to yom keneged yom tochiach. Okay, so this is a different case. It says there is a different case that will prove to us that we cannot learn out from that logic. How do we know? If you have a woman who saw blood for 1 day, the din of the Torah is that she needs to be shomer yom keneged yom. She has to, guard 1 day, keneged that day, and to see if she'll be clean, keneged the day that she saw, if it was only 1 day. That's din Torah. Again, midrabanan, we're always, once you see blood, we take it as a different outlook. But according to din Torah, if she sees only 1 day, then we consider her shomeret yom keneged yom. She's watching, she has to watch 1 day and see if she can become clean. So it says, shomeret yom keneged yom tochiach. She should prove. Why? Shemetama mishkav u'mushav. That woman who sees 1 day, she does make things she sit on tameh. This is obviously in the time of the Beit HaMikdash and everything. Ve'eina te'una sefirat shiva. But she does not need to wait 7 days according to din Torah. So what do you, it says, and don't have a question, don't have a wonder on this case that we just brought, the case of the Zav, that even though it makes it tameh for mishkav, for lying down and sitting on, I would have thought that, hey, maybe it does not need to wait 7 days. Talmud Lomar, that's why it came to teach us in the Pasuk, mizovo visafar. So that's why it said, mizovo visafar, that miktzad zovo, that only miktzad zovo, that even if it has only two times it saw an emission, so therefore it would already be considered tameh, and it needs to wait 7 clean days. so it says, Vissafar limed al zav bal shtei reyot she'taon sfirat shiva. From the fact that it says Vissafar, it's coming to teach us that you need to count even a zav who saw two emissions, he would be required to count 7 days before he would be considered tahor. Okay, we'll stop there for questions. Okay, continue. Amar le Rav Papa l'Abaye. Rav Papa says l'Abaye, Ma'ishna hai mizovo de marbi bei zav bal shtei reyot, u'ma'ishna hai mizovo de mimayed bei zav bal shtei reyot. We had two pesukim. One said mizovo, and the other one said mizovo. In one of them, we included the zav. We said the zav is going to be included over here, that you would have to include him, that even a zav who only saw two re'iyot, he only saw two emissions, he would be required to count 7 days. And then another pasuk that we said mizovo, we excluded the zav. We said, no, it's coming to exclude the zav who only saw twice, that he would not be required to bring a korban. So which one is it? Do we really include a zav from the word mizovo, or do we exclude? You cannot say one pasuk is saying exclude, one pasuk is saying include. Amar le, isa gadatach hai lema'utehu, isa gadatach hai lema'utehu, da'ata lishtok kraminei. Says, if you would have thought, this is what he responded back to him. Says, if you would have thought that it's saying that it's coming to exclude someone who saw two re'iyot, two emissions, and say he does not need to count 7 days. So he says, that it came to exclude, right, the pasuk, lishtok kraminei. So the pasuk should just be silent. We don't need the pasuk to tell us anything, mizovo. What's the point of it saying mizovo? If it's telling us that only someone who saw three re'iyot needs to wait 7 days, but if he only saw two emissions, he does not need to wait, so then it should not say the word mizavo, it should just say silent. So clearly, what do you understand from this? That it, even a zav two re'iyot, he needs to wait 7 days. V'chi teima atya midina. Maybe we can learn out from the simple logic, right? We know from the simple logic we tried to bring earlier, we would include a zav who saw two emissions, that he would be required to wait 7 days. So we don't necessarily need the pasuk, because obviously if somebody is tameh, mishkav or mushav, he's tameh if he sits on anything, so obviously he would be required to wait 7 days. So why do we need the pasuk? So he says, shomeret yom keneged yom tochiach, because we have this shomeret yom that we just brought, the case of the woman who saw one day of nida, that she can wait 1 day to see, hey, maybe I'm going to be clean, midin Torah, obviously, and so therefore, and she makes things tameh, but she doesn't have to wait 7 days yet. So what do you see from that? That she can prove that your logic doesn't make sense. Maybe we can say that we need that pasuk, that it needs to teach the word mizovo, to tell us that only mizovo, that only once he stops the emissions can he start counting the 7 days. But he does not need to wait until he becomes healed. Let's say he has a nega tzarat. If he has a tzarat on him, he doesn't need to wait for that. Maybe that's what the pasuk mizavo is teaching us. So Gemara says, "Im ken lichtov krav v'chiitar hazav v'lishtok." If that's the case, it should just say once the zav becomes tahor. It should not say once the zav becomes tahor from his zovo, from his status of zav. So why does it say that? Mizovo lamali. Why does it say that? Limed azav al shtei reyot shita'un sfirat shiva. To teach us, and this is how it ends the discussion, to teach us a zav who has seen two emissions, two times something come out of him, either on the same day or one day after another, that he needs to count 7 clean days, but he's not obligated in korban. Only a zav who saw three times would be obligated in korban. That's the case of zav shara shtei reyot or shalosh reyot. Now we're jumping into a new mishnah that has to do with... If he's rak echad, he does not have that status of tumah. So he's only metameh. In the beginning of the shiur, I said, he only makes foods tameh. Things like that tameh. He does not make people tameh. He does not make what he sits on tameh. He does not make kelim tameh. Only if he saw twice does he make those things tameh. He becomes a higher level of tumah. Right? He becomes an ava tumah.
How do you trust the guy?
Shela tova. Shela tova. Lo yedem. New Mishnah. Shela tova. New Mishnah. So the Mishnah here is now talking about the case of Negat Sarat. if a person has a nega tzarat. So there's actually different types of tzarat. There's a tzarat where it's just a, you know, some type of spot on the person's body, but it doesn't have simane tum'ah. It doesn't have signs of impurity in it. But the kohen who's coming to judge him to say, are you tameh or not, he doesn't clearly see that. So he has to put him in a, confinement where he's put outside the camp for 7 days, and then the kohen comes and reevaluates him. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It's something called a musgar, a metzora musgar. Musgar is talking about confinement, when the kohen sends him outside the camp, whereas metzora mukhlat, a metzora mukhlat is somebody who's confirmed after the reevaluation, he's confirmed to be a tzara, to be having a nega tzara. So the Mishnah says, "Ein bein metzora musgar la metzora mukhlat." There's no difference between a confined metzora, someone who has tzarat, to a confirmed metzora, ela piria uprima, besides for the cutting of the hair, the shaving of the hair, and the ripping of the clothes. Right? So we know that the kohen, it only applies to somebody who's confirmed as tzarat. Once he's confirmed as tzarat, he has to, shave his head. Sorry, he's not allowed to shave his head, and he's required to rip his clothing. Right? Somebody who is only confined, he is exempted from those things. Right? We know that somebody who is confirmed mitzvah, he cannot shave, as the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Periyat sa'aro, he's not allowed to cut. And kriyat begadav, he has to rip his clothing. Right? So that's the obligation of somebody who's a confirmed mitzvah, not somebody who's only confined. Then it says, ein bein tahor mitoch esker, that tahor mitoch echlet, ela tiglachet v'tziporim. There's no difference between somebody who's pure from the time of confinement, when the kohen comes and reevaluates him and says, no, you're pure, it wasn't really negat sarat. And the difference between somebody who was a confirmed, and then after he's confirmed, he did his waiting times that he needed to do, and then he became tahor. There's no difference between them. Rather, the only difference is tiglachat, getting haircuts, shaving, and with regards to, right, he has to shave all of his head after that, and bringing the two birds that a person is required to bring as a korban. So only somebody who was a confirmed mitzora would be required to bring those after his tuma status went away. Gemara, halinyan shiluach v'tum'ah zeh zeh shavin. But if you get into the topic of shiluach, right, sending outside the city until he becomes tahor, or tum'ah status, and all the dinim of being impure, both the confined tzara'at and the confirmed mitzora, both of them have those statuses. You have to send them out the city and they're tamin. Minanimi, from where do we know this? The Tanei Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he taught, Kameid Rav Huna, the Pasuk says, this is in Perek Yud Gimel of Vayikra, so if you look over there, it says, "V'tiharo haKohen mispachat he v'chibes begadav etaher." The Kohen made him pure from his sapachat. It's a sapachat v'chibes begadav etaher. He washed his clothing and he became tahor. So it says, "Tahor mipiria uprima demikara." What does that mean? A Kohen who was, he thought he was a tzarat, but he was put in confinement, and then he found out he wasn't actually tzarat. So he gets reevaluated, and then they find out he's actually tahor. So the pasuk is telling us that he is exempted from the status of piryan pirima, from not allowing to be cut his hair and having to rip the clothing and so on and so forth. He would not be obligated in those things from the initially. Amarli Rava Elam Atef. If that's the case, Gabe Zav. So if we go back to our topic about Zav, Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, V'chibes begadav v'taher. Over there also it says he washes his clothing and he becomes tahor. Hatam Mai v'taher mikara ika. Over there, what kind of status does there have? If you're comparing it to here about mitzora, how do you compare it to there? That you're trying to say, hey, he becomes tahor like from initially, from the beginning. There's no initial status of tumah over there that we impose on the person that he becomes tahor from. So ella, what is it saying? It must say something different over here. Ella tahor hashta militamek licheres beheset. He's saying that now he becomes tahor from making any earthenware kli tameh by moving it. Afagav dehadar chazi lomet tameh lamafriah. Even though afterwards it could be that his spot comes out again and he becomes tameh again, still we don't make it tumah, we don't make it impure lemafriah retroactively going back. Hachiname, so too over here, tahor hashta militameh bi'al lemafriah, that he is tahor now from making things tameh, right? We know it. Anyone who has tzarat, anything inside the ohel with him becomes tameh as well. Anything inside the room with him becomes tameh as well, if he's really tzarat. Right? So we don't say that the person who is now tahor, Right? He cannot make things tameh when he comes in limafrea, retroactively. Oh, he came in. No, we say he's tahor, so therefore everything would be tahor. We do not make things tameh. And if he becomes tameh afterwards, that's tameh afterwards. We don't retroactively say, no, hey, he was tameh from back then, and we bring it back. Ela, so that you clearly see that it's not like what he was trying to say. Right? This is different than what he was trying to say. What he was trying to say was not this. And so now the Gemara is bringing a kind of a refute on him, so to say.
Benno,
yeah.
You're telling us that mitzvah osir tumah kmo she tumat mit?
Moshe is not exactly, but very similar. In the sense, when there's a mitzorah, a person has nega mitzorah in the room, if it's really tzarat, they have to evaluate. He makes the walls and everything inside the room. If there's an ohel, he makes it tamez. Mayim patuach, it's not discussed as much, but it could be that it's the same dinim, because it's very similar to a mit. But simply speaking, everything in the room becomes tamez.
Wow.
Okay? So now it says, Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, so what would Rava say about that? Amar Rava mehacha. Rather, you learn it out from the pasuk over here. You can learn out the din from here. V'atzarua asher bo hanaga, that the tzarua, the person who has hanega, the person who has tzarat, I skipped. No. Okay. Good. So what does that learn out? Mishet tzaraato teluya begufo. Only someone whose tzaraat is tied in with their body. Yatzazeh she'in tzaraato teluya begufo ela biyamim. Exempting the person whose tzaraat is not dependent on his body. Right. He doesn't actually have tzaraat. He just has a spot, and the kohen sent him out. So he just has to wait the 7 days. When he comes back in, the kohen reevaluates and sees he does not actually have simanei tuma. He doesn't actually have signs of impurity on his spot. And so therefore, it's excluding that person even whenever the nega, his spot, stays, he does not, it's exactly how it was in the beginning. He's still tahor as he was in the beginning, and we don't consider him tameh, right? That's what he's trying to say. Afilu, even in the time where he still has the nega, he's still like he was originally. That's what he's trying to say over here. That's how Rava proves it. So that's where he brings it from. Okay, very good. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says to him, Ele ma'ata, if that's the case, kol, the pasuk over here says, Kol yemei asher hanaga bo, all the time while the nega is on the person's body, yitma. Or over here it's yitma. Yeah, yitma. She says, mishet sara totel yabigufo hu deta'on shiluach. So you can learn out from that pasuk that only somebody who has tzarat on their body, that's actually tzarat in their body, only he has to be sent out of the camp. Whereas she'en tzarato teliyah begufo, in taun shiluach. Maybe you could say that somebody who does not actually have tzarat tied into their body, they do not need to be sent out. So this would be a refute on him, because we said that everyone gets sent out. V'chitema achinami. Oh, maybe we could say that. Maybe only somebody who really has tzarat, that's tied to his body, only he gets sent out of the camp, but not anybody else. V'haketani ein bein metzora muskala metzora muchlat ele priyahu prima. But we said in our Mishnah that there's no difference between a confined tzarat and a confirmed tzarat, rather than the shaving and the ripping of the clothing. Ha, l'inyan shiluach l'tamuye, b'bi'ah zeves shavin, with regards to sending out and with regards to making things tameh, both of them are equivalent, that they both make tumah and they both have to be sent out of the camp. That's against what we're saying here. We're trying to say that you don't have to send out. Now he's saying, no, you do have to send out. So which one is it? Amale yemei, it could have said yemei. What did the pasuk say? Kol yemei. Lerabot mitzora muskar l'sheiluach, coming to include a confined tzarat for being sent out of the camp, and that's how he discusses that. Now you skip the rest of this line. The Bach erases it, and you go to the next line. Then it says ein bein. So really, what we saw here, we brought a contradiction, and Rava kind of came and answered it from a different pasuk. We thought to say, hey, look. that you can learn out from the pasuk v'tiharo hakohen mispachad hi v'chivis v'gedav v'taher. But he said no. If you compare that to zav, it doesn't make any sense. So Rava brought it from a different pasuk, explaining to us how do we know that how we know that only someone who is tzarat is taloy in the guf, excluding somebody who is tzarat is dependent on the days. Okay. Now it says ein bein tahor mitoch hesger le tahor mitoch echlet. We said that there's no difference between someone who's pure from confinement and someone who becomes pure from confirmed tzaraat, rather than the shaving and the bringing of the korban. Right? Only the person who's confirmed has to bring the korban. Amar Abaye, Amar Akra, the pasuk says, kohen el mechutz hamachane. So the kohen goes outside the camp. Vihine nirpa, and the continuation of the pasuk says, and he becomes tahor, he's pured. Vihine nirpa, nega, Nega tzarat. So what do you, how do you explain this? Misha tzarato teliya berefuot. Only someone whose tzarat is dependent on healing. Excluding somebody whose tzarat is not depending on healing, what is it dependent on? That's the person we don't know if he has tzarat or not, and he's sent out into confinement, he does not actually have tzarat, he's in confinement. So this is excluding that person, that he is not now obligated to shave his body and shave his head, and he's not obligated to bring a korban after he becomes pure. Only somebody who is a confirmed tzarat is obligated in those matters, but not somebody who was sent only in confinement, as we see from that pasuk. Baruch Adonai Zavadam, Amen V'Amen.